Penguin Random House Audio presents Brat by Gabriel Smith, read for you by the author. I was in the waiting room. Then I was in the examination room. There was a chair and another chair and a hydraulic doctor bed. "Sit down," the doctor said. I didn't know where. "Not on the bed," he said. I sat on one of the chairs. "I think I have a concussion," I said. "Why do you think that?" "My nephew hit me."
"He hit you?"
"Yeah, in the nose. Then in the back of the head."
"How old is he?"
"He's 14.
"Okay,"
he said.
"Take off your shirt."
"Really?"
"Sure,"
the doctor said. I unbuttoned my shirt. He shone a light in my eyes. The light was on the end of a cone. The cone was set at 90 degrees on the end of a metal rod. It looked like a thing dentists use for looking at mouths.
"No concussion," the doctor said.
It didn't seem like he could tell that just by shining a cone in my eyes.
"Looks like you have a little eczema here, though," he said.
He pointed to my chest and then spun away in his chair. I looked down at myself. There was a red patch and what looked like a slightly raised piece of dead skin in the center of my chest, just to the right of where I assumed my heart was. "Okay."
"Don't worry,"
he said, looking at his computer.
"Very treatable.
I'm writing you a prescription for hydrocortisol cream." "Don't you mean hydrocortisone?"
"Yeah," he said. "Hydrocortisone. That is what I said."
My brother's wife, when I was back at the house, said that I shouldn't have provoked him.
"He's very sensitive," she said.
"What?" I didn't provoke him.
"He loved your dad. They had a real connection."
"I don't see what that has to do with anything."
"Are you really going to wear that outfit?"
she said. I was wearing a t-shirt with lots of Phils on it. Phil Leotardo, Phil Neville, the Philippines, the concept of philanthropy, Philadelphia, the spread, the London Philharmonic, Prince Philip.
"What? No, I'm going to wear a suit. It has a stain on it. You can't wear that."
"I am going to change." My brother walked into the kitchen and kissed his wife on the forehead as she walked out of it. He started doing something in a cupboard.
"Now, you should wear the Phil t-shirt to Dad's funeral," he said. "I'm going to change," I said, and left the room.
I looked at myself in the half-steamed bathroom mirror. This was the house I grew up in. The doctor was right about the skin on my chest, just to the right of where I assumed my heart was. It looked all weird. I picked at the skin. It came away painlessly. Just a little at first. It made a thick and translucent white flap. I flicked at it with my fingernail. I pulled at it. More skin pulled away like damp paper, over my left nipple, then right up to my armpit. It started to sting a little, like it was meant to stay on. I stopped tearing myself. The skin just hung there. Then I kept going. I couldn't walk around with half my chest hanging off me. Once I'd torn it mostly off, I had an alarmingly large piece of skin in my hands. I looked at it. It was me, but losing its shape, still slightly ridged where it had run over my ribcage. I looked at my body in the mirror. There was a long rift where I'd removed the dead skin. It poked outwards, up the side of me, almost imperceptibly, just like the unfindable edge of a sellotape roll. I didn't know what to do with the skin that had come off. I couldn't leave it in the bathroom bin where my brother or his wife would find it, and I didn't want to flush it either. I thought about putting it into my pocket and taking it downstairs and wrapping it in a plastic bag and disposing of it secretly.
but that felt insane, and I didn't want to get caught doing it. I dropped the skin into the bathtub. It made a slap sound. I turned the shower head on all the way. I pointed it at the skin. After a moment, it began to break apart, as if decomposing, and the tiny pieces of it were carried by the spiraling water down the sloping porcelain, down into the plug hole. After the funeral, at the wake, which was at the house, my nephew apologized for punching me. "I'm sorry about punching you in your head," he said. "No problem. I just get so angry sometimes."
"Right.
Don't you?"
I poured myself more wine from the bottle I was guarding from everyone else. The new skin was tender under my shirt, under my jacket. The living room was large but full of mourners. My uncle by marriage was holding court on refreshments.
"Yes, I borrowed it from work," he said. "From the work canteen."
He was talking about a large metal urn that stored and dispensed near boiling water.
"I thought a lot of people would want tea, and that this would make it easier."
"It must have been hard to get here," I said, "with all the hot water in."
"What? Imagine if it spilled on someone. They'd get all burnt." "No," he said. "You don't transport it full. That would be dangerous."
"Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying."
"What are you doing for work at the moment?" he said. "Still writing, like your parents?"
"Yeah."
"And the money's all right? I read an article about how books don't make any money anymore. Barely any of you make any money."
My brother walked over. He was holding a glass of wine and a beer. "I see you have two drinks," I said to him. "Nice." He tried to hand the beer to my uncle, who put his palms up and made a goofy face, then mimed driving a car.
"Thanks for apologizing to your nephew," my brother said to me.
"I didn't."
"He really appreciated it."
"I didn't apologize. He apologized to me."
"Sure," my brother said.
"Hey,"
I said.
"Some of my skin came off earlier."
My brother was a plastic surgeon. That was his job.
"What?"
he said.
"In the shower, like a reptile."
"Your skin came off?"
"Like a reptile."
"That sounds like eczema. You should see a doctor." "You are a doctor."
"I'm not a skin doctor."
"Well, you are a skin doctor."
"No, I'm not. I'm a surgeon. I'm not looking at your eczema skin."
"I saw a doctor today," I said. "He gave me a cream." I tried to pour myself more wine from my bottle, but it was empty.
"So use the cream," my brother said.
I walked away to get another drink. Back in the kitchen, a neighbour from down the road said it had been a beautiful ceremony. "That was a beautiful ceremony," she said. She was older than 60 and wore purple all the time, even to funerals. "It was," I said, but she thought I was just agreeing.
"He would have loved it."
"He would have?"
"Yeah, he would have found it very moving."
"I thought he might have found it disappointing," I said. "What with the being dead?"
"Yes, he would have found it very moving. He was a very emotional man. A true artist."
I thought about my father in the audience of my brother's school flute recital, holding a biro and the photocopy program, ticking off each act as it finished. I thought about my father in the audience of my brother's school prize giving, slumped. I thought about him sitting up, suddenly, when a small girl, maybe 9, won an award for dance. I thought about him saying loudly, incredulously, loud enough for other parents to shush him, "Darts?" "You knew him pretty well," I said.
"We had a connection. He was a true artist." I looked around for a different conversation.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?